As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Welcome back. The Athletic's live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft coming to you from Detroit. I am Robert Mays. Joining me tonight, the Athletic's draft expert, Dane Brugler, and one of our wonderful NFL analysts here at The Athletic, Nate Tice. Boys, it was a hell of a night.
It was fun.
It was.
A lot of intriguing stuff went down. We're going to run through some categories here, kind of wrap up the evening that was. Let's start on a positive note. Dane, your favorite pick from the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft, what do you got for me?
I mean, should I save Roma Dunze for you? Or are you gonna,
I mean, I was going to, so yeah. You can do it. I'll you can take it. That if you want to.
I'll go with Terrion Arnold to Detroit. I love the fit when we talk about who the player is, what the team is looking for, maybe a guy they didn't see falling that far. And once he was within striking distance, all right, let's go get our guy. Because Terrion Arnold has the compete skills, he has the athleticism, he is just a perfect fit. And for this draft to be in Detroit and to work out that way, I love that fit.
Yeah. For me, it's pick a lineman. I loved all the landing spots. Not love, but I really liked a lot of these landing spots.
Made sense, right?
Yeah. Latham to Tennessee makes a ton of sense. Alt to Chargers makes a ton of sense. Really like that. Fashanu going to the Jets and their succession plan and everything. That makes a ton of sense. Fuaga and what the Saints need. Really like that. Mims to the Bengals. Truly, that might be my answer.
Yeah.
That one was one that I was like, yeah. Like, really like that with the Bengals. And then Fontenu at 20. And then Barton. All these guys, I thought, ended up in good spots for them and the teams that made sense. The Morgan to the Cowboys one, it's like, okay. Okay, you're trying to go for this. I'm curious of how they're going to manage that.
Packers.
And the Packers as well with Jordan Morgan. That's another one I really like. So all those spots, because I was so bullish on all the town of all that I'm going to be optimistic about where they land. But all these spots, I was like, oh, yeah, yep, that totally understand. Like, especially with the Steelers and Fondue and stuff, all these guys I really liked.
I think it's hard to argue with what Roma Dunze at 9 does for the Bears. Independent of how I felt about it and the fact that I was trying to manifest it for the last 2 months, being able to drop him in there, having maybe a future number one receiver that from day one is going to be your number three receiver with your number one pick that you just used on a quarterback, it is hard not to be excited about that outcome.
And they all have synergy.
Yes. It just makes sense. We've been talking about this the whole process.
Yeah.
You can see it in your mind.
It was easy.
Those three guys together with Caleb Williams, you can see it in your mind, and that's why it's so exciting.
You had that first question about Dunze a couple months ago. You're like, wait, what do you think about him? And I was like, oh, I love him. And you're like,
I was trying to tamp
down. Yeah, no, you're like, I know I do too. I know I do too, but they might trade out.
One more, and I don't mean to just like pile on the receivers and like, oh yeah, it's great to get pass catchers because that's the easy answer. I love Brian Thomas going to Jacksonville.
As soon as they missed
out on Calvin Ridley, I was so worried about what they were going to do to bring that group of pass catchers together. They need to maximize that group this year. This is a huge year for that team. And for them to spend that resource on a pass catcher instead of a defensive back, even if it's still a glaring need, I actually love the fact that that's the direction that they went. And they did it by trading down.
That's it.
And he won't go in there expected to be the one right away. I mean, they can bring him along. And the Brian Thomas we see in week one would be very different than Brian Thomas we see at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And then that pass catching group, it's – I think Doug Peterson likes this anyways, the sum of their parts. Like he likes every one guy is the number one of this game based on the game plan, which is good for a Thomas in his rookie year as he emerges. Mm-hmm. And then down the road, as he gets comfortable with Trevor Lawrence, if maybe he hits this upside. Okay, now we got our number one. But at first it's just, you know, it's the posse that can just build all this production with Trevor Lawrence. And then down the road, you get what you hope you can get with him.
The interior offensive linemen and where they all went. Graham Barton, Fatanu, I think it could be a tackle or an interior piece. Right. And then Jordan Morgan, if he starts at guard and moves to tackle. Those three teams, they had pieces along the offensive line. I like the fact that if those picks hit, the offensive line then becomes a strength.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or what, the Bucs specifically, you're looking at what they did this offseason. All they really did was bring back their guys and lose Carlton Davis. It's like, what is your path to going from a mid 500 winner of the NFC South to a contender in the NFC? You need to have position groups become true strengths. Now, Tristan Wirfs, Gadecki played so much better last year. Cody Mauch in year two. You bring in a Graham Barton. Can the offensive line become a hallmark of who that team is? Right. Steelers, same way.
Yep.
You know, the Steelers are trying to piece together their offensive line for so long over the last few years, it felt. You drop Fatanu in there with what Broderick Jones was late in that season as a rookie, the physicality they can play with then on offense, does that become the identity that they can bring on that side of the ball? And the same thing goes for the Packers. Yeah. They've had intriguing pieces. We like Zach Tom. You know, Walker did fine. Elton Jenkins is a nice piece. But can that be the identity of who they are offensively along with Jordan Love?
It gives them options. It gives them flexibility to be a chameleon offense where they, you know, for the Steelers, 1 week you're going to rely on the run game. The next, you know, you're doing something different. And same thing with the Bucs. And I think when you are able to add offensive linemen like this that are versatile guys that you can mix and match and just help stabilize things, yeah, that is a that's a big part of what you want to achieve in the draft.
And two-way guys, too, where it's not like, yeah, this guy's really good in pass pro. Guy's bad run blocker. Yeah. Or he's a great run blocker. We have to hide him in pass pro. No, the Steelers added another guy who could play guard or tackle potentially that you don't have to help. He's going to win in the run or the pass and win those one-on-ones. And like you said, the physicality, Arthur Smith is at OC in their run game.
Exactly.
Their run game is going
to
be a
We already saw glimpses of it, right? Yeah. And to accentuate that and make it more of a strength, I love that. And then we don't have to talk about all the picks as good picks, but that stretch of defensive players from 15 to 17. Latu going to the Colts, Byron Murphy going to the Seahawks, Dallas Turner going to the Vikings.
Yep.
It all just makes sense.
Yep.
Like the Colts need a double-digit sack guy. They've got a lot of nice pieces. They need that double-digit sack guy. So seeking the pass rush upside of somebody like Latu, I understand that thought process. Yep. Byron Murphy now being the centerpiece of that Seahawks front as they reset. I understand that thought process. And I think Dallas Turner, I'd never made this connection in my mind because I just thought they used both first-round picks on a quarterback.
Yes.
Going to Minnesota, you can see it. It's just so easy to imagine that. So those three guys in those three spots specifically, there's just not a lot of imagination necessary.
I don't think I did a single mock draft where the Vikings picked twice in the first round.
Yeah.
Because every single time it was like, well, obviously they're packaging these two picks to move up. And so, yeah, Alec made a great point about this team does not draft defensive ends, pass rushers in the first round. They don't do it. And
Erasmus James thrown at me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So like under the old regime, led by Rick Spielman, it was like, okay, you knew not to mock a pass rusher.
Corner. Well, yeah, cause you had to throw a corner in there every single year.
Exactly. So, but now, you know, new sheriff in town. Like Alex said, I don't think they thought that Dallas Turner would be an option for them. And once he was, they went and got him, but it was costly. So we'll see how it works out.
Let's go maybe to the flip side here. The most surprising pick of the first round for you, Dane Brugler.
I mean, I think we're all in agreement here.
We were going to do most surprising and most confusing, and I think it might be the same answer for all of us. So we'll have to find some other things to talk about.
You might have to qualify it. Yeah. Besides Michael Penix going 8 to the Falcons. It was funny. When I got here earlier, I walked in and we were talking and I looked at Robert and I said, is Penix at 8 the weirdest smokescreen you've ever heard? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would that even be a thing? Why are we even discussing this as a smokescreen when obviously it's not going to happen? Well, it happened. And it's still hard to wrap your mind around the thinking. And I can't wait to hear from Kirk Cousins on the issue.
I can't wait for a lot of press conferences the next couple days. I'm with you. I was going to say the picks, the Penix, Nix tier guys going in the first round.
I mean, I think we've stopped talking about Bo Nix being the 12th overall pick in this draft because we're shocked by Penix.
The Penix one is just, I'm trying to you always try to find the angle. Okay, why did they take this guy? Even if I don't like him, like even like Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs, I'm like, okay, you're attracted to the speed, juice, juice, juice. That's what they're going for. I don't like it, but it's not surprising.
Yeah,
you know, same. I guess even with Knicks, it was like, okay, they need a quarterback. I don't see him as a first rounder, but I don't know if that's surprising. It was, but nah. Penix to at 8 is surprising, confusing. I'm disappointed. I for where they're at, it's just. Penix, and even with McCarthy on the board, Penix is so different to me from also what that offense prefers. He's another guy that doesn't really work over the middle. He likes to push over the top into the outside. He can do that well, but accuracy and anticipation aren't his forte. What does that offense thrive on? Play action, timing, boom, work over the middle. Okay. And then we have injury history. We have age. He's going to be sitting potentially 2 years. So now you're saying that when this guy gets off his rookie contract, he's 29, I believe. It's confusing. It's really confusing for the number 8 pick. If they did this in the second round, I go, okay, I get it. You're trying to get a succession plan, all these things. The Hendon Hooker last year
right.
with the Lions, but top 10 in a loaded draft, in my estimation.
Third round pick is much different than a top 10 pick.
Correct.
Yes. And it's also Jared Goff, the Lions traded for Jared Goff. He was out under contract, but it was, you know, it was a secondary plan, right? Like, they didn't commit to him. Like, we're starting with this, right? They didn't give Jared Goff a contract and then draft Hendon Hooker.
Right.
The fact that the Falcons gave Kirk Cousins this deal a month ago and then ultimately did this, I was looking it up while you guys were talking. The 8th overall pick last year was Bijan Robinson. Year 3 of Bijan Robinson's rookie deal is going to have a $6 million cap hit. Kirk Cousins has $25 million of dead money into the 3rd year of his deal. So let's say they move on after 2 years. You still have it's going to be $30 million worth of quarterback play in the first cheap year you have with Michael Penix. So you're not going to have a cheap rookie contract quarterback or the ability to wield that contract until year 4 when he is 27 years old.
And you potentially already paid Drake London and paid those guys right. as well. AJ Terrell.
I just don't understand it. Even if you think that he's the best player on the board, even if you want a potential succession plan, I just don't get how it all fits with the other things that they've done.
That's it.
Yeah. And if you're like, no, we want that 5th year with him because you need it, trade back. It's like, I know you need 2 to tango and all those things, but I don't know. That one is just very confusing to me, especially where they're at, where I feel like they're pushing it this year. I mean, obviously they want to in that division in the NFC. That's why you sign Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And another thing is like, if the argument is, well, we're not sure if Cousins is ready to play. Didn't you guys do medicals?
Yeah.
Like the process, no answer to the process has made sense for me as I've sat here for over an hour, 2 hours, just kind of marinating in it.
So again, trying to figure out what their thought process is. You know, Diana just tweeted that their spin is going to be, they didn't think they'd be picking this high again for a long time. So this was their chance to find a quarterback when they may not be able to over the next couple drafts. I get that to a certain extent, but it's like, it's about opportunity cost. Yeah. It's about what you can do with that 8th overall pick and what your window currently looks like. When the Packers drafted Jordan Love, they didn't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers would be there, and it was in the 20s.
Completely different. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. it is someone in that front office just fell in love with the player. I think it comes down to that.
When's the last time the Falcons had a winning record?
2017.
Okay. And they're talking about, oh, we don't know the next one. We're picking the top 10.
A little ambitious.
Okay.
They've been picking.
I'm an optimist.
I already thought they were picking 8 next year, right? That they pick there every year. So it's tough.
And then Bo Nix goes 12.
Yeah.
And this is, you're picking a quarterback in the top half of the first round. Ideally, that quarterback is going to have, like you said, top 12 quarterback upside if that's the draft capital that you're using. You can maybe talk yourself into not needing that if it's a cheap option with a crazy supporting cast, right? Like that's the argument for JJ McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Even if JJ McCarthy's upside is middle of the road starting quarterback, you have Justin Jefferson, you have Kevin O'Connell, all that. The Broncos are a rebuilding team. This isn't a final flourish of anything that they've done. This is step one. Mm-hmm. And to use step one, to use the 12th overall pick on a guy with Bo Nix's profile, that's just tough for me to stomach in the same way that the Penix plan is tough for me to stomach.
It feels more like they settled than they, they're coming away from this draft thinking they hit a home run. You know, like
They make contact.
Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah. I mean, that one's tough. Although I understand that one more than I understand the Penix one.
I do too.
I do too.
Because they didn't have a quarterback on the roster. That's it. Right. Yeah. Zach Wilson. Yes. And I was going to say Brett Rippon. It might as well be Brett Rippon.
Yeah. Pick
Jared Stidham.
Jared Stidham. Yeah. They're all in the same group.
Decent contract, too, by the way, as a high end backup kind of type. Yeah. That was it. They kind of got their hand forced just in their situation. But again, it's like, are you guys, you're not winning now, you know, with that roster and everything. Right. And also you're drafting an older quarterback. Again, he's the second oldest first round quarterback besides Brandon Weeden, who is 29.
If that's your plan, I don't know. Hang on to Russell Wilson one more year, though. Right. You know, like
right. They were going to have some more production. Russell was like
paying him that money already, you know, so.
Yeah, they're paying him $50 million this year to not be on the team.
Exactly.
Why
not just keep him for another year and, you know, figure out your quarterback situation next year?
At least they didn't trade up.
There you go.
Silver lining on this. Yeah, okay. I know. I'm still stunned by these.
It'll be fascinating as we look back at this draft 3 years from now, 2 years from now, a year from now.
Yeah.
You know, just to see how everything plays out. Six quarterbacks drafted in the top 12. History tells us that at least three, if not four, will be busts.
Yep.
So, it'll be really fascinating to track all these guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. For their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/maze, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/maze now to grow your business, no matter which stage you're in. shopify.com/maze.
I'm going to ask you guys about the moment that you'll remember from this draft, but I guess a better way to frame that question is how will we think back on this draft? And I think it'll be the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I think that'll obviously be the way that we remember it. Yeah. Six quarterbacks going in the top 12 picks.
It's never happened.
Unprecedented. It has never happened before. The first three, we can all see it playing out this way, right? Caleb, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and no drama there, no surprise there. I think we all understand those picks. We all can get behind those picks. It's everything that happened after that I think was the intrigue and is going to be the, kind of the question marks moving forward. But I think the team in that group that has to be, I think, pretty satisfied with how this played out is Minnesota.
Yep.
To not have to give up the farm and still come away with a guy, even if he's firmly in tier two of this group, I still think that's a decent outcome for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. For me, I think the lasting thought is going to be just the offensive players. 23 offensive players. So single-digit defensive players. We've never seen single-digit defensive players drafted in the first round before. that's what we got this year. And so the offensive linemen, the quarterbacks, and then we had that run on receivers towards the end, especially with Ricky Pearsall and Leggett, guys that I don't think we anticipated going in the first round. So really fascinating to see. And I think the other one of the other surprises I would throw out there too, Brock Bowers going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
The
yes. Yes.
That definitely qualifies as a didn't mock that, never saw that mocked. It didn't really line up exactly with what we thought would happen, but I do like that pick. I think it makes sense for them. Yep. I think, you know, he's whether he is strictly a tight end or a slot, I mean, everything we've said about Brock Bowers, the different ways you can use them. Mm-hmm. All right, Luke, let's see what you got. You know, if it's going to be a little bit of Cole Kmet, it's going to be a little bit – it'll be interesting to see just how they see that skill set working.
Cole Kmet is a very solid player. He's been fine for the Bears. If Brock Bowers is Cole Kmet, this is a huge disappointment.
Oh, sure.
Huge disappointment.
Way different animal.
Yes.
And that's the thing, too, is Michael Mayer is like a better receiver than people realize, too. It's mm-hmm. it's a fun pairing.
There is a synergy there between those two skill sets. It's great. Look at Devontae – Jacoby Myers, Michael Mayer is your Y tight end, like prototypical tight end, and Brock Bowers is that move guy who's essentially just a slot. You see those pieces fitting together. My only concern here is that there are holes all over the Raiders roster.
Including
they need offensive linemen. Yeah. They need a corner. There's so many different things they passed on to go with what I think what a lot of people are going to categorize as a luxury sort of selection.
Yeah. It was. They probably went best player available. They probably went, wow, we have so many needs. All right, we'll just go to the top of our board. Yeah. I don't hate that thinking sometimes.
Best player available.
For that type of player, too. Like what we think is a true needle-moving, true blue-chip type of player.
Who knows at that spot. What that wide receiver depth chart's going to look like a year from now.
Right.
You know, it might
be long gone. Like, yeah.
I applaud what the Raiders did.
Let's move on to a guy that you're surprised fell as far as he did here, Dane. As you're looking at the board and the way that it unfolded, who went a little bit later than you probably could have anticipated?
I think the corners. Yeah. I mean, I already talked about Arnold, but Quinyon Mitchell not coming off the board until 22. I mean, it's worked out perfectly for the Eagles. They didn't have to trade up for him. So that makes a ton of sense. Besides the corners, Fa'atanu falling to 20, that seemed like maybe the ideal situation for the Steelers, for him to fall as far as he did. Really, I think those are the only – obviously, we have a few that have fallen out of the first round completely with Cooper DeJean and Johnny Newton, and not huge surprise necessarily, but still a little surprising that those guys didn't sneak in there.
Yeah. Which team, Nate, are you surprised passed on DeJean and went with the pick that they ended up making?
I was going to say the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I was going to say Eagles and Cardinals, but the Eagles make sense. Like you said, Winchell's on the board. That makes total sense. That's a number one corner potentially. Yeah, Cardinals is interesting. But yeah, that was his range. I thought the 20s was, even if I'm high on them, it's that the 20s was kind of going to be his range. You know, like that's the thing. The Lions, no, they took Terry and Arnold. They move up for that. Okay, that was another team that can maybe go after a guy like this. So we were getting to this point of the draft. Like maybe the Ravens take him, but then they have a Kyle Hamilton. Mm. You know, like if we're saying DeJean is going to be this move around, well, we already have that. So let's get a real outside corner that we know is going to be an outside corner. So I can see how the arguments went. That's how a corner position kind of goes. It's what the flavor you want, what type of guy you like, what type of kind of mentality you like, what specialization you like. So DeJean being just good at multiple things maybe didn't tip the scales for him.
How the receivers ended up going off the board, the fact that we didn't get Eddie Mitchell, we didn't get Ladd McConkey, but we did get Ricky Pearsall and Xavier Leggett. Is that surprising to you, or maybe we could have anticipated it unfolding this way, maybe in a slightly unconventional way than people might have anticipated?
It speaks to every board's different. Yeah. Every wide receiver, because again, we list receivers all together in the same bucket when they're completely different with what they offer, their skill sets. And so what the Panthers are looking for is different than the 49ers are looking for, different than what the Chiefs are looking for. And so I think it speaks more to that than anything else. And it'll be interesting as this continues tomorrow night, who's the next receiver off the board? Is it, and especially with Buffalo picking 33, is it Keon Coleman? Mm-hmm. Is it Adonai Mitchell? Is it Ladd McConkey? Is it maybe they go to Johnny Newton? You know, look to bulk up the defensive line. Who knows? And so, but I think that receiver, just the diversity of all these different skill sets will continue to make the order of these guys come off the board just so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. You have Buffalo that needs a receiver at 33. You have New England who still needs a receiver at 34. I was a little bit surprised that with Tyler Guyton still on the board, Washington didn't try to make a move up and grab, you know, one of the, maybe they did.
Yeah.
But the fact that he fell and was available at 28 and they have all that draft capital and that left tackle was still the biggest thing that they needed. Right. I thought that might have been something we saw and ultimately it didn't end up happening.
Right. Yeah.
And then even how I looked at those tackles, and again, this is just my perspective of it. I had guys like Guyton, Kingsley Suamataia, and I nailed that, so I'm really proud of myself. And then, and Patrick Paul.
Yeah.
Kind of these project-y tackles that was like, I can make an argument for each of them in different ways. Kingsley ended up being the one that I kind of preferred of those three. There might be teams like Washington that I go, okay, like we can get one of these project types anyways. Why reach up for a project type
sure.
when I can just maybe have one of them fall? Yeah. Maybe that's some of their thinking too. Maybe there wasn't that tackle run in the 20 or the teens to 20s that maybe they thought would happen or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder what how the receivers are going to go off the board. Who's
seeing you got Chargers that might need one?
So the Chargers also. I think the Chargers bet going with Alt at five and saying maybe we'll grab whatever pass catcher is still available for us at 37. I can understand that.
It's a good bet.
Right? Like, you love that bet. I think that's what you wanted them to do from the beginning, yep. but it's not surprising that that's how it ended up playing out for them specifically.
Yeah. So they're going to take Carter Wilson.
Former tight ends playing off at the tackle the Chargers can draft.
I know. No, they're going to take a guard now. No, it's, no, yeah, but I'm sure Roman Wilson will end up being the pick. So
Either the first game where I noticed Keon Coleman, was when I studied him last summer, was the Michigan State game against Michigan. So I bet you Jim remembers that game. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's actually a good one. Yeah, and then I'm sure Joe Ault, he has plenty of experience around. Probably try to recruit him there, all those types of things. So you got to remember those. A little better than Urban. I when Urban Meyer was doing that, I wasn't liking it as much, going off his old recruiting rankings. But, right. You know, Harbaugh, I think, has a little better eye for it.
Best player still on the board for you, Nate? Or Dan is Cooper Jean?
I actually have Jackson Powers Johnson,
okay.
The Oregon center. I knew he was going to fall. Some of the character reviews were not as favorable for him. And so I knew he was probably not going to go tonight. Cooper DeJean would be next. Johnny Newton would be third. Kool-Aid McKinstry fourth. Ladd McConkey fifth.
Yeah.
So those are the top five available going into tomorrow night. But you know what? I think at this time last year, I think Brian Branch is my top available player. I know he was my top available player. Mm-hmm. And he fell, you know, to the, what was it, like the mid-second mm-hmm. when the Lions finally drafted him. And obviously that worked out well. So it's not about where you're drafted. It's about situation you go to. And so, you know, these guys, even though I'm sure some of them are pretty disappointed they didn't hear their names called tonight, could go to a better situation tomorrow.
Nate, whose landing spot are you kind of most intrigued by heading into day two? The guy that you kind of have circled right now?
You just mentioned him, Keon Coleman. I'm really interested who falls for him, like in a good way. I want to see who ignores the 40 time and trusts the tape or likes the things that they see on tape, the ball winning skills, maybe, you know, the upside that he might have as a more potential to tap into as a route runner and all those types of things. Maybe that's what they go for. But that's just, that's what I'm just curious about. Because Keon and I had a lot of trouble with slotting. It's like, I really like this profile, but then there's so many red alerts that I also have with him. So I want to know who kind of swallows those red alerts and decides to pull the trigger on him.
I'm really interested to see if Buffalo pulls the trigger on Adee Mitchell.
Yeah.
Right? After dealing with, it was the Stephon Diggs era in Buffalo. I think people are going to remember how it ended right. and completely mischaracterize what it was like for most of it. It is a screaming success mm-hmm. what the Buffalo Bills got out of Stephon Diggs. But obviously there was a decent amount of tension at the end. They wanted him out of town. Would they be willing to take a guy who, you know, has some questions mm-hmm. about his personal makeup? But again, a guy in this range of the draft that truly does have the skill set to potentially turn into a high level option at receiver.
And it's interesting too, because they traded back twice. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, hedging a little bit,
yeah.
you know? And so that'll be interesting. I'm really interested too, when we see the first running back drafted,
mm-hmm.
When will that happen? It's probably sometime late second round. Will it be 56 in the Cowboys? Will it be someone else sooner than that? I think, cause once we see that running back run start, I think those guys have come off the board pretty quickly.
Yeah, and to dovetail off that, it's all those other positions, safety, linebacker, who's right. the second tight end off the board. Mm-hmm. That's also, I'm really
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Big boards are all over the place on the tight end class. So that's something I'm curious in round two, who's going to pull the trigger on a tight end.
I'm wondering these teams that are trying to have their cake and eat it too. New England taking a quarterback and then maybe double dipping with the receiver in the second round.
Or
Washington
tackle.
Taking a quarterback, potentially getting a tackle. Yeah. New England potentially getting a tackle. Can the Titans draft J.C. Latham and then also get a pass catcher in the second round? So how these teams now that have these young quarterbacks, they either draft the quarterbacks in the first round or still need to surround them with more pieces. Where does that come from early in the second round? I think I'll be very curious about that. And also which quarterback the Falcons are going to draft at 43.
Hey, they need someone for P-Squad.
I mean,
we're just both speechless. I
have nothing left to offer because it's just bizarre. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe when we hit record tomorrow, we'll have more because a full night to really think about it. But that's, I can't remember a more shocking first round pick in my lifetime or, you know, since I've really been following the draft. That one.
It's not even like it was the back half of the first round.
No.
They traded back into the first round. He was the eighth overall pick in the draft.
Top 10. Who's the defensive lineman the Jags took at 10?
Tyson Alulu.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. Yeah. But
that definitely.
Again, it's defensive lineman. It's not. Yeah. QB. It's just so, like, I even said to Dane after, I was like, is that Daniel Jones maybe surprised? But you're like, I understood why they needed a quarterback, though. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and there was at least buzz about that. There's talk about
Bowl,
that.
All those things.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, that was the thing. Penix actually didn't have a good Senior Bowl either. It wasn't like it was, yeah, I don't know.
I think
I keep going on this.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A few other picks that may seem obvious, and it's not screaming value because they were top 10 picks, but make a lot of sense and almost felt necessary, even if we did a lot of fan fiction before we got here. Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals at 4. It's just like, okay,
yeah,
like now it begins.
Yeah.
And now, like, this era of Cardinals football begins. You have Kyler Murray, you have Marvin Harrison Jr., you have Trey McBride. Like, let's see where we can take this. Same goes with Malik Nabers and the Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, it made all the sense in the world if they weren't going to chase a quarterback to go get that number one receiving option that they've been desperate for, right, essentially since Odell Beckham left town.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been a while that they've needed that guy. And the last one I would also throw in there,
ones that made sense if you thought about it for more than 10 seconds with critical thinking, Jared Verse going to the Rams.
Right.
That those three and like what they needed and the best case scenario, what they wanted to come away from with this draft, I think all three of those picks make so much sense.
No doubt. And yeah, these receivers were certainly, I think, one of the bullet points of this first round is where these receivers were going to go, how early, and then ultimately where they end up. And it fits. The Cardinals, they get their lead guy. The Giants get their explosive player. And the Bears with Rome, I mean, it worked out really well with both the landing spot and the style and the type of receiver that these guys are. So, yeah, that makes a ton of sense. No big surprises there.
In terms of how a guy's career is going to shake out, not necessarily the best pick, but the ones like, oh, I love that. I feel like that's J.C. Latham going to the Titans for you.
That was one. So, again, it was the Mims going to the Bengals.
Yeah.
Like, but the, both of those guys. Yeah, it was like their landing spots. It was like, oh, yeah, I'm hoping that their potential can fully be unlocked, and I'm optimistic that it will. And also, you know, again, Mims going to the Bengals stuff, I just like that because that's an ideal landing spot for him, just for what the path he has to take at the next level. And then Latham, again, I thought kind of got slightly underrated in the process a little bit, but like, you know, there's more concerns than I thought that were brought up than I thought he had. But it's really cool that he's going to like one of the maestros to kind of clean up whatever concerns there were that people might have.
And then over Bowers.
Yep.
That was definitely kind of a turning point of this first round, it felt like, because they could have easily went with the pass catcher. And I mean, I could understand that thinking, but they went with the left tackle of the future and a guy that I'm sure we'll see plenty of this year when ultimately Tyron goes out.
Yeah. It was always the sound decision for them to make.
It was.
A couple more that I'll throw out that I just think were mildly surprising based on what we thought their needs were coming in and what they came away with. Chop Robinson going 21 to the Dolphins. I get it. You know, Jalen Phillips being hurt and them needing another guy there. They signed Shaq Barrett in free agency, but they could use another presence. I still felt like interior or just offensive line in general. Mm-hmm. It was just such a screaming need for them that one was a little bit surprising. And then I'm wondering, I'm doing the Windhorse, like Pearsall going to the Niners. Are all those guys going to be on the roster? Are we going to have a week one Niners lineup where we have Debo, Brandon Ayuk, and Ricky Pearsall? Or is the Pearsall pick a signal that I think if Ayuk was going to get traded, he already would have been gone because it would have required a first round pick.
Yeah,
and I think that's the floor for what they should have taken for him. Debo could move on day two for less than that. And I wonder if the Pearsall move is an indication that that might be on the horizon.
That's a great point. It won't be surprising at all if we're talking about Debo watch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, where is he headed? Where is that? That wouldn't be surprising. But it wouldn't be surprising if they kept him too, you know, and they decided to kind of punt on this situation for a little bit longer. That's an interesting fit. Because Pearsall can play inside, can play outside, can do all these different things for that offense. So
he's so different, those guys. Like,
he is.
It's not like a Debo replacement. It's
no,
it can be more different.
And that's the argument for if they wanted to keep all three of them, there's enough. The roles are specific enough where you could have them all.
Though, we can do what you want.
Like, no,
he's really good.
Honestly, guess what I would be doing if I were a team?
Oh. Yeah.
If they kept them all, maybe Juwan Jennings is the one that ends up beyond the move. You want a useful piece for a team that has a glut at receiver?
Juwan looked like when he had have more extended playing time last year, he looked like a number two, not just like a role playing gritty number three. It's like, no, this guy actually looks like a solid.
He's
number
a
two.
Useful. The
yes,
term you often use with those guys. Juwan Jennings is a useful
love
player.
Juwan.
The other trades, I was looking at the contract information for the Eagles corners. Bradberry is $15 million in dead money if they were to trade him away. So it does feel like that glut of guys in the defensive backfield, they're just going to have all those bodies to make sure that they have some answers no matter how it plays out.
Yeah. And hey, let the best man play.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And with Vic Fangio taking over as defensive coordinator, I don't think he will have any allegiance to any of these guys. Even the guy they just drafted is just going to, the best players will play.
Maybe they hot handed at corner. They're just like, who's got the hot hand this week? All right, you're starting this week.
Or matchups.
Or they use Slay or Bradberry as like an opener in baseball. All right, you take the first quarter. All right.
Why not?
Mitchell gets in the last three quarters because he has fresh legs.
All right, we've been going for 5 hours. I think that's all we got for tonight. I am going to go back to my hotel room and just sit there and dream of what it's going to be like watching Caleb Williams throw to Roma Dunze. So
I'm just going to think
that's what I got on tap.
Doing the second round. I thought you were doing the third round.
I'm going to do third round mock.
Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah, let me.
You got to wait till I finish the second round so you know who's there.
Go mainline like six coffees before I end up doing that.
Bowers is on the Rams, right?
Yeah, Bowers is on the Rams. That worked out great. So
there's a fleeting hope there. I was like, no way this is actually going to happen. Oh my God, this is what I've actually been picturing. Nah.
I'm the only one that comes away from this draft in a good mood. So, and I will be for quite a while until they all get on the field and it goes horribly wrong. All right, guys, that is all we got. For everyone that stuck around with us at any point during the live stream, I sincerely appreciate it. I mean, we talked about it and joked about it a little bit earlier today, but we started doing this show the first time we did it with me and Nate and two iPhones in a hotel room in Chicago. And for us to be doing it in this sort of setting is a product of you guys tuning in and of you guys supporting us. And can't even tell you how much we appreciate that and how much that means to us that you would spend your valuable time with us tonight in a moment like this. So sincerely appreciate everyone who stuck around. And guess what? We're doing it again tomorrow. 6 p.m. Eastern. We're going to get going tomorrow. So please come back and join us. Until then, that is all we've got from the first round. For Nate, for Dane, for me. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk to you soon.
This was the Athletic Football Show.